why do I sense that this message is appropriate, not only for you, but also for a lot of us? Because no matter how strong a Christian we can be, doubts arise. I don't know about you, but for me, it comes. In my 30 years of leadership as a founding pastor of SIBKL, which I set aside last year, there were occasions in which doubts came. Did I decide correctly? Should I do this? Should I not do this? And I'm very sure it comes to every one of us without exception. What do you do? Somebody said this: never believe your doubts, or doubt your beliefs. Always believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. I think it's a Bishop of Bahamas who mentioned, I think so, I'm not sure. So I couldn't verify this. Always believe your belief system. In other words, whatever convictions that you have, let it hold you literally for dear life when you go through periods of doubt. So I'm going to share with you three things we need to do when we go through periods of doubts in our life, and I believe it applies to every one of us without exception, including me. It's a relatively unknown incident in the life of David. Now, how I got this message was last year, SIBKL, we did the life and times of David, and we were doing 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and Chronicles, including Solomon as well. So when I came across this passage in 1 Samuel 23 and 24, the Lord spoke to me on this whole area of how do we navigate through periods of doubt in our lives. Just let me read the first few verses. It's a long narrative. I just summarized the narrative in a short while, and I go straight to my three points. So let me read the first six verses for context. When David was told, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors." Keilah is a part of Israel. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines to save fellow Jews?" And the Lord answered him, "Go, attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Here in Judah, we are afraid. How much more than if we go to Keilah again?" What happened is, at this time, David was running away from Saul. So he was very secure in the cave, you know, of En-Gedi. So the moment David comes out and saves Keilah, he would have exposed himself and his entire army. So his men objected. Once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, "Go down to Keilah, for I'm going to give the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, fought the Philistines, carried off their livestock. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. So this is the summary of the narrative. So David went to see the Philistines. God said, "Go." He inquired of the Lord. David's men objected. Saul sent his entire army to pursue after David. That is in the entire narrative. And amazingly, in this narrative, the inhabitants of Keilah, after David has saved them, betrayed David. It's found in 23. So David escapes. And then in 1 Samuel 24, David had the opportunity to kill Saul. We all know this story when Saul went to ease himself in the cave, but David spared Saul's life. So what do we do when we're in doubt? Number one, when you and I are in doubt, always, like David, keep inquiring of the Lord. It's okay to go to your senior pastor. It's okay to go to people for counsel. But the primary thing, and I discovered in my own life, when, not if, I am in doubt, keep inquiring of the Lord. Keep inquiring of the Lord. One of the purposes, we were just talking to Pastor Ned and the pastors just now. A lot of churches in Malaysia, as I speak now, are going through the 40 days of fast and pray. My church, SIBKL, out of 4,000, maybe almost half of us, almost 2,000 of us, have pledged to fast for 40 days. So some fast lunch, some fast dinner, and so on and so forth. Why? We encourage them. For this period of your life, you set aside intentionally time to seek the face of God. Inquire of the Lord as to the next step of your life, as to what you should do, what you shouldn't do, how you should do it. And we believe that as we do that intentionally, God will speak. If not, we don't believe it, why bother? There were two occasions in which David did not inquire of the Lord. And in both times, he landed in trouble. Why? Because he made the wrong choice. It's the same. The purpose of inquiring of the Lord by setting aside intentionally time to seek his face is for God to speak to you. And when David did not inquire of the Lord on two occasions, he landed in trouble. Now this is 1 Samuel 23. A few chapters before, he had to feign insanity. He had to fake it in order to get out of trouble. Why? Because he did not inquire of the Lord to go back into the land of Gath where Goliath was. And strangely enough, the second time, as far as I can see from scripture, that David did not inquire of the Lord is a few chapters after 1 Samuel 24, 1 Samuel 27, when he reads, "But David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul." Since when? Since when? Not since Goliath has God ever told David, "I will surrender you to the hand of Saul." Never, never, never. At 17 years old, David knew that God was with him when he killed and defeated Goliath. And now, after so many years as a king, same, after so many years as a Christian, since when had God told you that I will surrender you to your enemies? Since when? But for David, he thought, "The best thing for me to do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me." And of course, he landed himself into trouble because he met this guy called Achish. And Achish said, "Okay, since you come to ask me for shelter, you go to Ziklag." And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, big trouble when the Amalekites came, laid siege on Ziklag, carried off David's family. Why? He did not inquire of the Lord. Can I encourage you, Cornerstone? I do not believe that it is fortuitous that the Lord prompted me to share this message to you. I don't know why, but I know that a lot of you are in doubt at a crossroads of your life. May even go through trials and tribulations. But trials and tribulations are inevitable and necessary. Why? Four reasons. Why is it, in my opinion, God gives us trials and tribulations in our life? Number one, to reveal the nature of our faith. What kind of a faith do you have? We sing it, we share it, we even speak it, we even share it and as a sermon. So I tell my pastors, hey, make sure whatever you preach, God is going to test you or no. Because it's easy to preach a message, right? But it's difficult to live it out. So I tell my pastors, hey, please, sir, whatever you share, people say, good sermon, pastor. You feel so good, huh? The moment the Lord will test you on. Am I right? Do you really believe or not in what you say? Same for you. I don't care what level of leadership you are. Trials, tribulations will come to test and reveal the true nature of your faith. Trials and tribulations will also come to test the depths of our convictions. In a short while, I'm going to share with you, there are four, what I call, indomitable, unshakable convictions we must have. Remember, always believe your beliefs, never doubt your beliefs, remember? So what are your beliefs? What are your belief systems? So I'm going to share with you in a short while. There are four unshakable convictions that we must hold on to dear life, no matter what happens in our life. I'm going to share with you. But whatever it is, trials and tribulations come to see whether we are rooted in our convictions or whether we are rootless. Ephesians chapter 2, I think, the prayer of Paul. That three, you are rooted in His love. Are you rooted in His love? You will be tested. Trials and tribulations also come to reveal the strength of our commitment. How committed are you? You know, one of my favorite t-shirts was given to me by Bill Wilson. I don't know whether you know Bill Wilson or not. You know, he runs one of the largest children's ministry in New York, thousands of them. So he came last year to Malaysia. So my church hosted him. And I like the t-shirt that he gave me. The problem with the coat there, but the problem with it was a dirty green color. And I hate dirty green. So I love the quotation, but I didn't like the color. So I mentioned that once on the pulpit, and somehow or other it came to him, and then he couriered to me all the way from Taiwan a black one, which I love. The quotation was this: your commitment must be stronger than your emotions. Bill Wilson. And he knows exactly what he's saying. Talk is cheap. How strong is your commitment to God? You will be tested. Your commitment to the Lord, obviously, must be stronger than all the hype that we surround ourselves with. But the fourth reason I love the best. Trials, tribulations, who are both necessary and inevitable, will test and reveal the measure of your faith. Your reserves, do you have it? The reserves of God. That's why in moments like time like this, when we are doing through 40 days of fast and prayer, what are we doing? we spend time not dieting, not doing nothing. So we spend time studying God's word. We have prayer altars every day. Every day, prayer altars. What are we doing? Replenishing our reserves. You do the same. You must do the same, because if your reserves are not replenished, are almost empty, you'll crash. 25th January 1990, Avianca flight 052 left Bogota to New York. Avianca is the national airline of Colombia. As the plane neared John F. Kennedy Airport, Captain Laureano Hoyos, a veteran, wired the control tower permission to land. Control tower wired back, "Sorry, can you circle one round because we are congested?" So Captain Hoyos circled, and as he wanted to land a second time, control tower said, "Can you circle one more time?" But Captain Hoyos said, "I'm running low on fuel." Control tower said, "No, circle one more time." And he circled one more time. And a third time, control tower said, "You can land." But something happened that Captain Hoyos could not land, and he missed the runway and went on again to circle the third time, except that he ran out of fuel. And Avianca 052 crashed 20 miles in a place called Cove Nest, 20 miles to the north of New York. 65 out of 149 passengers perished. 8 out of 9 crew died, including captain. So when they analyze what happened, is it control tower's fault? Is it the captain's fault? Is it the plane's fault? They came to only one conclusion. The main fault was that the captain did not say one word, emergency. If he had said, "Not only am I low on fuel, but emergency," immediately they would clear the runway and he would have landed. You know, many of us are such low on fuel and we still carry on as if nothing has happened, because you do not think you have reached emergency level. You crash. Believe me. Trials and tribulations test what kind of reserves we have. The reason why I keep looking back, because I cannot see there. It's too far for me. You don't mind. We need to recharge ourselves on the run, understand? We must learn. I learned that. You know, pastoring a church of that size in SIBKL is not easy. Very busy. Even now, I am very busy because, as Pastor said, that Pastor Ned said, my role now, after I stepped aside last year as an SP, is to strengthen the small churches in the whole of Malaysia, churches less than 100 strong, and they're all together 3,000 over churches of that size in West Malaysia. Okay, so I go around doing that, either collectively or going one by one. I'm busy, but I learn to recharge myself on the run. And I say this again and again to my pastors and to you all. I say it again. There must always be a river running on the inside of you. You cannot give what you don't have. You don't fake it till you make it. You don't do that. Either you have it or you don't have it. Because we are here for the long haul. Am I right? There must always be a river running on the inside of you. And the key is this: never, never modulate your life by sentiments, but modulate your life by scripture. Not by rhetoric, but by revelation. And then you will fly high, last long. So the first thing you and I must do when we are in doubt, don't stop inquiring of the Lord. Secondly, what I learned from this passage in David's example is that not only did he not stop inquiring of the Lord, but he kept inquiring. Now, I'm going to ask you, don't you think David was in doubt? Hey, I inquired, I asked you, you know, you said go, ma. All right, you said go and attack the Philistines, and I went and I saved them, and now my men objected, right? But I overruled them and I saved the people in Keilah, and they betrayed me. They betrayed me, and I had to run. What, God? Did I hear you correctly? I call this the Keilah moment, not the Gilah moment. All of us go through Keilah moments, understand? What do we do? Never stop inquiring of the Lord. Secondly, it's very important. Always choose the high road. Always choose the high road. Don't choose the low road. Why? It's easy. The men of the world does that. They cut corners. They go for the easy way out. They cheat. They deceive. They do whatever is necessary to get whatever they want to get. The low road. But no. We choose the high road. So for David, what was his high road? He saved Keilah. The man said, no need, don't do that. Because if you do that, you expose yourself. And sure he did. And Saul went after him. And not only that, in 1 Samuel 24, he had an opportunity to kill Saul. What? Thank you, God, for answering my prayers. I can kill my enemy off. But he said no. Listen to what David said. David said, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master. The Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. And with these words, David rebuked his men. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the high road. This is the high road. It's so easy for you and I to cut corners, to do whatever we can to achieve what we want to achieve. Even malign sometimes. But this is the way of the world. We don't do that. Always choose the high road. Carl Sandburg, 3-time Pulitzer Prize winner, says this. He says that in every one of us, there is an eagle in me that wants to soar, but also there is also a hippopotamus that wants to wallow in the mud. So in you and in me, there is both an eagle as well as a hippopotamus. Which do you think will dominate in your choices? You tell me. Even in ministry, Pastor. Even in ministry. Before I became a full-time pastor, I was an obstetrician and gynecologist for 20 over years. Gave it up. My wife was a pediatrician. You know, when we do medicine, it's very easy, whatever. Just a table and then a stethoscope, you're in business already. It's willing seller, willing buyer. Man. I never call you to come. I don't have to promote myself. You come. So when I became a full-time pastor, I got to mix around with ecclesiastical circles, bishops, senior pastors, and I was so shocked. What? They do this? It doesn't mean that we are in ministry, that we do the righteous thing before God. No. So I'm speaking to myself, I'm speaking to all of us. When it comes to push, to shove, choose the high road. What happens when you do that? Two things. I've come to learn that when we choose the high road, we will not lose our moral compass. We will always keep our magnetic north. We will always come back to our only reference point, what Jesus himself would do and what is in the Word of God. We will not lose our moral compass. But secondly, what happens when we choose a high road is that we will not become more ruthless. Why? Because the more truthless you are, the more ruthless you become. Am I right? Absolutely. Even for ministry, the more truthless you are and you shun the word of God, marginalize it. Why? Because you want to get the easy way out. You choose the low road. Before long, the more truthless you become, the more ruthless you become. And I've seen it many times. Always choose the high road when you're in doubt. So trusting God, you may not know the answer. If God is for us, who can be against us? So everybody say after me, if God is for us, who can be against us? One more time. Come on, sing it more convincingly. Are you ready? One, two, three. If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you believe it? See, do you believe it? In your work, in your dealings, in the way you conduct your life, do you really believe that when you choose the high road, God will vindicate you? And he will. You know, one of the longest titles I've ever given in my 30 years of sharing God's word was, I think, about 3 to 4 years ago when we did the book of Ruth from a pulpit ministry. So every year we do a book or a couple of books. So I think 3 years ago we did the book of Ruth. And the title that I gave for that sermon, my media team said, Pastor, can you please shorten the title? It's too long. So I cannot. That title is stays and is this. Only when you do what is right and righteous before God can God bless you. So long, Pastor, the title. I cannot shorten it anymore. Because that's the truth. Only when you do what is right and righteous before God can God bless you. Why? Because if you do devious things, will God bless you? No. Because he's a holy God. His ways are holy. How can he bless you? But Pastor, 10% if he goes to his work, even 100% also God would bless you. Because if he does that, he will be contrary to his nature. He cannot do that. Even in ministry. You must choose the high road. John Maxwell's latest book, I don't know whether it's available here, is The High Road. So he sent this book to me. I read through the book. He says there are only two ways, the high road and the low road. There's no middle road, man. No middle road. No such thing as a middle road. Either you go the high road or you go the low road. No middle road. And he listed down 14 proposals of how you choose the high road. I have only one complaint on this book. And I mentioned that publicly. God is not mentioned in this book. Why? Because it's written for the secular mind. He wants to sell his book, man. It's for secular leadership. So I may mention that. He sent me another book. He says, Pastor, that book is for the secular mind. I have not put it down. And the book, the second book is Jesus, the High Road. Choose the high road. Because Jesus Christ is the high road. Understand? The third thing. Three things we do, as far as I can see. Oh, I forgot about this. Did I? Let me see. Oh, the third thing, that's right, is this. So when in doubt, first of all, keep inquiring of the Lord. So we learn from David, okay? Secondly, when in doubt, always choose the high road. Number three is very important. When in doubt, always believe that God is good. So I'm going to ask you a question, Cornerstone. You prayed for certain things in your life right now, whatever it is that's bothering you. But up to today, there's no answer, you know. So my question to you is this. When God is silent, where is God? The answer is, He is where He always is. Still on the throne. Do you think that when God is silent, He has abdicated from the throne? No. God is always on the throne. Even when He is silent, God is still very much in control of your life. So these are the four, I told you, right? I'm going to close soon. Indomitable convictions that you and I must hold for dear life. And I mentioned these four convictions at least a few times every week. Why? Because we need to remind ourselves, remember, never doubt your beliefs. Always believe your beliefs. And these are the four belief systems which we must hold on to no matter what we go through in life. Number one, God is real. He's not a figment of our imagination. He's not something that we... He's not mystical. He's mysterious, so he's not mystical. Okay? There's a world of difference there. He's mysterious. He's not... Mystical means fantasy. He's not mystical. He's mysterious. You know that He is as real as the person sitting next to you? Do you know that? Yeah. Number two, God is good. There is not one iota of evil or malice in God. God is love. God is good. He is the epitome of goodness. He represents, His essence is love. His essence is goodness. There's not one pinch of evil in Him. And the third conviction is, God is always in control. And fourthly, God cares. Now, why is the third and fourth one important? I mentioned this last year, I think so, but I will repeat it again to you. If you say God is in control and he doesn't care, then he is no better than the CEO. You better produce a cornerstone when you move over to Orchard Towers. Make sure you grow double. If not, slap, slap, slap. Why do I give you the office Orchard Towers for? You are all man. He doesn't care. All it is, just produce. Just get it done. No. He cares. But what kind of a God it is if he only cares but not in control? He's a wimpy God. I love you. I sayang you. But I cannot help you. I'm not in control, man. But the good news is this. God is in control and God cares. These are the four unshakable convictions that you and I hold on to. What is it? Repeat after me. Number one, read aloud, left to right, front to back. Number one, God is. Number two. Number three. Number four. Believe it, friend. Believe it. Read this after me. Romans 8:28. Everybody read out loud, left to right, front to back. Are you ready? Just all read scripture together and believe it. One, two, three. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Hold on to that. He's a good God. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your family. Understand? All things work out together for good. Can I have the worship team on stage? What happens when we believe that God is good? So I take the cue again from David in this passage. Number one, he will protect you. He will protect you. You know, as David exposed himself in the process of saving Keilah, Saul sent his entire army to pursue after David. But I love this verse in 1 Samuel 23, verse 14. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. Who was it that protected David? God. God. So we think that if we shortchange ourselves and take shortcuts and try to do things the devious way, we will know. Remember, if God is for you, who can be against you? Remember? He will protect you. But I like the second outcome. Even better. If you and I really believe that God is a good God, and we take the high road, believe me, he will send reinforcements to help you. Out of 200 men initially at the cave of Adullam, 400 was here, and then by the time he reached Ziklag, it was 600. 600 only, a pastor, not only 6,000 or 6,000. No, no need one. No need one. All you need is a few good men. Remember, you don't need the masses. And God will send the few good men to help you, even non-Christians. You know that? And I've seen it many, many times. When you believe in the goodness of God, so I'm going to summarize. When you believe in the goodness of God, when you choose the high road, when you keep inquiring of the Lord, David learned something about God. Psalm 34 was written around this time. Okay, you could read it. Was written around this time when he feigned insanity in Gath. So what do you learn from the mind of David when he went through this period of doubt? Five things. He learned that God hears. He learned that God delivers. He learned that God is near. He learned that God protects. And he learns that God redeems. And he knows now God more intimately, my friend. That's why God says he's a man after my own heart. He knows me, and I know him. Same for you. Same for you, my friend. When in doubt, do these three things. Always keep on inquiring of God. Number two, choose the high road. Number three, always don't stop believing that you and I have a good God. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. I'm going to give the altar. It's okay. I'm going to give over the altar. If somewhere in my message this evening, God is speaking to you, you are in a dilemma. You are in a crossroads of your life. Be it in a relationship, be it in your financial standing or your business deals. You've reached a cul-de-sac. In other words, you cannot move forward. You cannot move backwards because you've committed so much. You don't know what to do. Today, I want to open the altar and believe on the strength of the Word of God that God will speak. That even as you begin to come and respond to him at the altar, the wheels of heaven will turn. And I don't know how things will pan out. Maybe you get clarity as to know what to do. I don't know. Maybe things will happen in such a way. Miracles. That's right. We're talking miracles, right? Miracles. Yeah, miracles will happen. They do happen today. Maybe God will send good men around you to help your white knight. I don't know. Whatever it is, there will be a breakthrough. There will be a breakthrough in your family. Some of you are praying about your family. Something is happening in your family that you are troubling you night and day, day and night. Your children, maybe, I don't know, they've gone wayward. I don't know. But today, I want to open the altar that no matter what it is, your situation, as you come before God, you come as a family, you come as a husband and wife, you come before God, understand, and believe that God is real, God is good, God is in control, and he cares. So I'm going to open the altar in a short while. So those of you who are in the crossroads of your life, who are in doubt, dilemma, you come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. Shall we do that? Oh, Ramanda kata da 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 da. Shall we sing about miracles just now? Do you believe really what you sing and sing what you believe, that God indeed will come into your life and work a miracle? Remember, when you allow God to break into your life so that he will break you, so that your spirit will now break out and you go through a breakthrough, it's up to you. So I'm going to open the altar. You come before God on the strength of his word. There will be clarity of direction because God is in control. But you have to respond to him. Let's sing this song as we close. Altar is open and there'll be people ministering to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Ramanda kata da 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 da. Shandai, thank you, Jesus.
In you, Jesus, I belong to you.
You're not coming to me. You're coming to the word of God that has been preached out, because the Bible says the word of God as it is delivered will not return unto him, not unto me, unto him void. In other words, it will fulfill the purpose for which it was sent. And whatever purpose it is a good purpose, understand? It is to honor him and to glorify and advance his kingdom. This is the word of God. This is the word, eternal word of God that has been delivered, and it will hit the bull's eye. It will hit the bull's eye. Amen.
To you,
the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all my... Let's sing the second verse. Sing it with all your heart, my friend. Oh, Ramanda kata da 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 da, Sheria kata da 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 da. Yes, whatever it is that's troubling you, as you surrender to God, remember, He is good. He is good. Remember, He's in control, and He cares for you. He cares for you more than you realize, my friend. Whoa. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Look to the Lord. Look to Lord. Tell the Lord Jesus, you believe in Him. You believe He's a good, good God. Amen.
It's Jesus I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. Jesus, I
can we sing the first verse again?
With all I am.
While ministry goes on to the front, let's sing to the Lord the first verse again from all your heart.
Into your hands.
Commit again. Will you rededicate your life once again back to God?
With all I am.
The good God, friend, is the good God. Stages of this evening. You have to close your eyes, you close your eyes. My prayer is that you will have a one-on-one encounter with God. Whatever situation that you're in, there will be a breakthrough, my friend. Miracles do happen, you know. Not only of healing, but finance, relationships, career structures, ministry. Because God loves you. He loves your family. It could very well be that a mess that you're in today is your own personal doing. You made the wrong choice, you see. You made the wrong choice because you never inquired of the Lord. But today, I want to believe that even as you come to Him, God will turn it around for you. God will turn it around for you, and it will turn out well. It will turn out well. So we're going to spend a few moments together. Will you do that? Will you connect with God one-on-one? Every one of you, whether you're here on the altar or at the up there, it doesn't matter. God is here. You connect with God, my friend. You connect with God. Oh, Ramandara kata da 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 shikiri di handai. Whatever impasse, whatever obstacles, I want to believe that even as you continue to inquire of Him and constantly believe He is good, He is in control, there will be a breakthrough. There will be a breakthrough. Oh, Ramandara Katarara Shandai. Come, every one of you, before we close, you connect with God one-on-one. You love this church, Lord. You love this church. And they love You. So today, Father, I stand in the gap on behalf of every person here, whether on site or online. Even you're at home, God is still with you. That no matter what obstacles and hurdles that you're facing right now, because you trust God and you keep declaring that He is real, He is good, He's in control. He's not out of control. And He loves you. It will turn out well. All things work together for good to them who love God and who are called according to His purpose. So I bless you this day. I bless you. And pray that surely 110% goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life as you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name, I pray. God's people say aloud.
Amen.
Let's give God a good clap of friction.
Listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.